Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The heart. According to the biblical understanding, the heart is not merely an organ. The heart, where it is in the core of the person, right there in the middle of the chest, is the place where emotion, intelligence, and free will lived. To do what? To guide the moral, the spiritual, and the physical life of the human person. We tend to think of that other organ, that this rest in the brain. But again, that for biblical reasons, for the biblical understanding of where does all of these things reside, it's in the heart. We even feel that sometimes. Sometimes we don't understand, or we have an emotion that, whether we're angry or happy or sad or somewhere in between, we feel it somewhere here. Not always here, and sometimes to both of them together, but that heart is the seat of thought, the seat of feelings, the seat of volition, the will. It's not only where our consciousness arises from, but also our conscience. And they proceed, they go out from there. The heart is also that inner place where God speaks, if we're listening, and brings about that ability in humanity to know our Creator, to experience our redemption, to come to know our Sanctifier, in order to lead us so that He can lead us in the ways of the salvation that He gave us through His Holy Church and through His sacraments. In fact, even further, this grace that flows not only into our human heart, the grace that flows from the divine human heart of Christ inspires and enables you and I to follow in the footsteps of the Savior with the same self-sacrificial love, behaviors, and decisions, if we allow Him, as the Good Shepherd. As we also prayed in that beautiful psalm, for we are the people He shepherds, the flock He guides. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Because again, that heart, when it's hardened, it doesn't want to move, does it? That obstinacy, that which is ours. All these excuses we make for not listening to God, for not being open to hear Him, for making all these excuses by saying, you know, surely He's not meaning that. I'm going to do my own thing. I've got to live my life. Oh, He can't be asking these things of me. I'm highborn, that's beneath me. I'm lowborn, that's above me. I'm too old, I'm too young. Oh, that's someone else's problems. Oh, certainly this can't be the problem because I know what the problems are. These are the problems in the church. No, these are the problems in the church. No, this is the problem with those other people. No, this is the problem with the other people. This is my problem. That's my problem. We do this, don't we? These gymnastics, this going back and forth and back and forth. And what happens? We close. Our feelings get locked up. We don't want to change that way we feel about somebody or a certain thing. Our minds get locked up too. It's our way or the highway. Our blinders are on. And then it locks up our will. And we're not free. We're imprisoned. We're bound. But if we listen and are open and allow the voice of God to speak, He can soften that hardened heart and allow it to open up to the new horizons, the new possibilities of grace. It's sin that's old. It's grace that's new. And He can lead us from darkness into light, from sin to holiness, from confusion to understanding. he does this as a shepherd leading his flock, gently, if we're open to it. All of this leads into something that we celebrate this weekend as well. You may be wondering why I have the picture of Father Lafleur. This weekend marks the 70th anniversary of the death of this one of these shepherds that God created after his own heart and provided for us, Father Joseph Verbus Lafleur. In fact, right now in Opelousas is the 70th anniversary mass of his memorial mass for him. But since all of us can't be there, it sort of seems appropriate that we commemorate the events of his life today, because he is one of these examples of a heart that was opened to the working of the Savior. Someone who was made a shepherd after the heart of our Lord Jesus, and someone who gave his life for his flock. In fact, sum up his entire life. There's a phrase in French that is used, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce it. Venez voir comment meurt un prêtre en bataille, mais il ne meurt pas. In English, that's, come all of you and see how a priest dies in battle, but he dies not. Father Verbus, Joseph Verbus Lafleur, was born the fourth of eight children to Agatha Dupré and Valentine Lafleur on January the 24th of 1912 here in Ville Platte. First of all, you know what that means? He's related to probably all of us in here. If you have Lafleur or Dupré, and there's probably all our family names in their family tree, we're all come from the same people here in Evangeline Parish, as part of the old Imperial St. Landry. And at the age of 7, he began school at Mount Carmel Convent here in Ville Platte, which later became Sacred Heart School. And he served daily mass with Father Louis Savoy, or Savvy, however you pronounce that, S-A-V-Y. And it seemed to all those around him, and they can attest, that he was a loving, compassionate, and normal child. He played in the streets of our town. He had friends. He played ball. All these weren't things that normal children do. And in his youth is when the Great Depression came. So for him, family life was not an easy one. It was very difficult, let alone being the fourth of eight children, and then seeing all the difficulties going on with the families all around him. His father abandoned the family due to the Depression, as it was a common thing at that time. Men were ashamed of that they could not provide for their families. And because they could not face that, many of them just left and wandered. Because of that, Father Lafleur's mother moved she and her children moved to Opelousas. And it was at this time, at the age of 14, that he was found on the steps of the church of St. Landry Church in Opelousas, where the then Father Benedict Coyard found him one morning sitting on the back steps, not knowing what to do with his life. His family was broken. They could find no work. His mother was having a hard time, and he was there with all his other siblings. And Father Coyard looked at him and said, "Young man, who are you? And why are you here? Where are you from?" He responded, "Father, I'm from Ville Platte, and I want to be a priest, but I don't know how. Can you help me?" There was an inkling that many of them saw in his life. Well, with the help of Father Coyard, Father Lafleur entered the seminary at St. Joseph Abbey and Seminary College in Covington in 1927. And it said, due to his thick accent, he was given the nickname Frenchie, and sort of faced a little bit of ridicule from his peers of where he came from. I don't know how well he spoke English, but his tick accent was there. But it did not take long that his love for church and love for country began to show forth. It was no secret where he stood, even at the age of 15. And he won the respect of his classmates. He excelled in all of his studies to the astonishment of his professors. Was a notable athlete, especially in the areas of baseball and basketball. Sounds familiar for a Biblioplatian, doesn't it? All throughout his seminary days, he won the esteem and the respect of those around him. And on April the 2nd of 1938, Father Verbus became Father Lafleur, as he was ordained by Bishop Jules Jamard, Uncle Julo to some of you here, at St. John's Cathedral in Lafayette. And he offered his first Mass on April the 5th at St. Landry Church in Opelousas. And he then reported to his first and only assignment in the diocese as the associate pastor of St. Mary Magdalene Church in Abbeville. In this, his only assignment, with the Great Depression still in full swing, and under the guidance of Father Edmund Dahl, he began the work of a shepherd after the heart of Christ. And his ministry left its mark on not a few Abbevillians. Whether it was he himself learning how to drive, imagine that in his late 20s, still not knowing how to drive, whether it was pawning his own belongings to buy baseball and bats for the poor children in town because nobody had anything, or his use of humor to teach the gospel. In all of these things, it is said by them, especially those who served his Mass as young men, that it was undoubtedly the manner in which he offered the Holy Sacrifice that touched them deeply. They said, you knew something was happening on that altar. You knew God was coming down and truly present there. And it was in 1941, as the peacetime draft began, as World War II was raging in Europe, that Father Lafleur witnessed many of his own flock, many of his students that he taught in the school or coached on the baseball field or taught tennis to or played ball with, taught them the faith. Many of those whom he married and the families he buried their people, etc. He watched many of them being drafted who had never been far from the banks of the Vermilion River, now enlisted in military service and sent to all corners of the globe. And it was in this that the patriotism of his youth began to tug at his heart, as well as his own shepherd's heart, as the call went out for priests to serve alongside these men and their families as they were being enlisted in service to fight a war around the world. This led him to join the chaplaincy of the United States Army Air Corps, which is now known as the Air Force. And with Bishop Jean-Marc's blessing, he went off. And he was later stationed at Clarkfield in the Philippines, where the now Lieutenant Lafleur again won the esteem of those around him under his command. All of them said he couldn't do it, but he did. And on December the 8th, later that year, the same day that Pearl Harbor was attacked, Clarkfield was also bombed. And Lieutenant Lafleur was seen tending to the wounded and the dying among the hailstorms of bullets and the bombs exploding all around the base. Along with those under his command, Lieutenant Lafleur was captured and held as POWs by the Japanese in prison camps. It is there that the story of this man's remarkable life, someone open to the heart of Jesus, that the story begins this begins to bear remarkable semblance to that of St. Maximilian Kolbe, whose story is familiar to many of us, who was dying in the prison, who offered his life in the camps of Auschwitz. And a similar event occurred at the end of Father Lafleur's life when he also took the place of another who was scheduled to die. When 700 men were needed for a work detail to clear the jungles in Japan, Father Lafleur knew they would be without a priest. And he volunteered to take the place of another. And as they loaded them up on cargo ships and sent them off to their work, they were torpedoed by American forces. Only 80 of the 700 men survived and made it to shore. Many of them offered him an escape, saying, "Padre, we can get you out." But Lieutenant Lafleur responded, "No, my place is with the men." And he was last seen continually shoving men through the hole in the side of the ship in hopes that they would make it to shore. There is so much more about the life of this holy man that I could share with you. It is such an inspiration. In fact, his image is in the murals in the back of our church. Why? To put him on a pedestal and have him somehow interfere with our faith? No. This is a shining example of what God can do in the life of just one individual. Again, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It's amazing. This is what we say when we profess belief in the communion of saints. We're all united in the body of Christ, from head to toe, shoulders and knees as well, if you want to sing the song. All of us are united in the body of Christ. The life of these people around us are meant to give us inspiration, to help us to go forward. Jesus gives us these people to say, look, you can do it too. They're cheering us on in the stands. Holy Mother Church does not exist amongst merely those you can see here now on this earth, and thanks be to God it doesn't. We have the church triumphant in heaven, where we hope Father Lafleur is there cheering us on, as I would dare say he is a martyr for the faith. He's there amongst those holy souls being prepared for that entry into heaven. And amongst us, the church militant, the one family, the one body of Christ. That's why we call each other father, mother, sister, brother, when they're not biological, but they are in the blood of Christ. We're given this holy example. And the amazing thing about this is he is one of our own. He is from our own community and from our own streets, our own people. We have no excuse, dear brothers and sisters. Again, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Look what God can do. Before Father Lafleur went off into the military, he even reconciled with his father who abandoned them. So many said he couldn't do it, and he excelled in his studies. Oh, he was confined just to the banks of the Vermilion, and God sent him to the Pacific Ocean to die for the faith, to protect his men, and to be an example. Isn't this amazing? Again, what God did through this one life continues to beat in the heart of his church and pulse through the veins to the rest of his body. What a wonderful example today, the 70th anniversary of his death. So I present to you his life, as many of you have told it, and hold him up again today as an example of what Jesus is telling us in his scriptures today. And in all of this, I called the Lafleur family, which, again, Richard Lafleur, who owns Guarantee Glass, is his nephew. His uncle is Father Lafleur, one of his brothers. They sent us all these packets today. You can see them in the back of the church. So they're all for you. Take them home with you. Spread them around those of you who are currently serving or have served in the military. Pray for the intercession of Father Lafleur. Jesus will hear his prayers joined to ours. This man's destined for sainthood. And we can make it happen with the grace of God. So I don't want any of these left after Mass. Take them with you. They're for you. They're not meant to stay here in the church. Or in the where the missalettes are. If you put them there, take them with you. Don't leave that behind. And just be careful. There's a lot of stuff in it. Make sure you get all of it. Don't let it fall out. And also, there's the book on his life that many of you are aware of as well, that we were given. There are copies available at the office. You can call Miss J on Monday, and she can tell you how to get a hold of a copy of them. Also, to put a plug in, Ben and Donna Swallow at the Percola have a few copies for sale as well. And if that doesn't help, I have order forms for you. Read this man's life. Talk to those you know were members of his family in our own community. Again, this is a shepherd after the heart of Christ who gave an ultimate sacrifice for God, for church, and for country, and is one of our own. And just bears repeating, if today you hear the voice of God, harden not your hearts. Say you're not too young, too old, and all these other excuses and thrakas in your mind, and get over it. And I'm going to conclude with the novena prayer for Father Lafleur, and ask that you just join in silently as I pray it aloud. O God of goodness, you never tire of sending us examples of your love. You called your servant Father Verbus Lafleur to the priesthood from an early age and kept him in your sight. In the fulfillment of time, he willingly offered up his life for his God and his country. Far from home on the battlefields of the South Pacific, O Lord, you were with him. You were with him in the prison camps. You were there as he healed the spiritual wounds and comforted his comrades. May we all be blessed by his holy and heroic life as he was doing your will. O loving God, lead us to charity and allow us to receive the favors we ask through your good servant, Father Verbus Lafleur. Now make your petition known in silence. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. May God continue to lead us from darkness to light, from sin to holiness, on into everlasting life. Amen.